was the biggest change of all. It was like a waterfall falling on me. And he'd said quietly to take it all in. He knew I'd do anything for him at all. But now he's over 6 foot tall, standing shoulders at the bar, talking over where to go. He's never been alone, never been too far. Buddy Holly's songs, his rooms beside the kitchen, his bed's beside the wall. I'm just down the hall.
That's Fraser Anderson with Rising Suns from his latest album. It's entitled Under the Cover of Lightness. Fraser is our special guest in our mobile studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. He's actually come all the way from Bristol in the UK to be with us today. Great to have you join us.
Hi, it's lovely to be here.
Is this your first trip playing music in Canada? Or?
This will be my fourth trip.
Oh, it's your fourth trip?
Yeah,
okay.
I've been over a few times. The first time I was actually invited to open at Hugh's Room for James Keelahan.
Oh, well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, yeah. And then I came back as part of a small tour and did a Woody Guthrie tribute concert again at Hugh's Room through Jory Nash.
Coming to Canada is obviously something you're quite used to, and it's interesting when I talk to I would say people from the old country, or people from home, is that the fact that often once you get used to coming to Canada, it actually is not such a difficult thing to achieve again. Or maybe I'm saying more than I should.
No. It's a great place. It's wonderful because it's all happened so organically. Because I randomly met. I made a friend, as you do randomly, and she said, oh, you need to be introduced to Derek Andrews, who's well known here, of course, and so I got in touch with Derek, and I'm now on his roster, and it's all just happened in a really lovely way. So
no, that's great. Well, we're going to get to know you over the next half an hour or so. You're going to play some songs live for us. But I think we should start off by talking a little bit about your music, because you're originally from Glasgow. I'm sure people will detect the Scottish accent in there.
Edinburgh.
Oh, you see, there you are. I made a huge mistake, which is funny because I am actually. I went to school in Edinburgh. How did I not remember?
I've never been so offended.
Originally from Edinburgh. You now live in Bristol, but I think you also lived in France as well.
I was in France for a little while, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about your music.
Well, it... kind of, there's two steps to it. I think I started, there's something that I can't actually remember myself, but my father used to be a butcher, and when I was like 4 years old, I would stand on this freezer with some kind of animal bone as a microphone and sing to his customers, and so I think I got a bug for performance from a young age from that. And his business actually folded a couple of years after that. So I'm not sure if it's connected. But the more kind of pivotal point to do with what got me on the creative path was I had a really bizarre thing that happened, in that I met this guy. I was 14 and I met a guy, and we had a real deep conversation about death. And he asked me if I'd ever seen a dead body before, and I said no. And within 12 hours the following morning, I watched him die. And it's a bit of a dark story. And so at kind of at that age, you know, it just threw up a lot of questions about life. And so I didn't do anything as far as therapy goes or anything like that. So I just threw myself into writing poems and stories, and then songwriting came from there. And I've always been able to sing and loved the feeling that you get when you sing. So I just naturally fell into writing songs.
I sensed that you must have some great stage banter.
Oh, really?
We're into this interview for, what, 3 or 4 minutes, and we've already learned that you used to stand on a freezer with animal bones as microphones, and then you met a guy who you were... Were you spending time playing music with him, and then he died?
No, it was actually... Right, so, my goodness, so my dad... had an old vintage Land Rover, and him and a few of his friends had an idea to head up into the Highlands one winter and just do like an overnight stay in a bed and breakfast, and then a hill climb and a picnic on top of a mountain somewhere. And so I met this guy for the first time at the bed and breakfast, and I was 14, he was 21, so we were like the two youngest there, so that's why we were kind of just thrown together. So we met that way, and then the following morning one of the Land Rovers slipped, and that's how he died.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Yeah. It makes interesting conversation, though. I've got to say, we're going to have you play for us shortly, but let's talk about your music that you're making now.
Okay.
Your latest album is entitled Under the Cover of Lightness. We started off with Rising Suns, and I think that's a song that's quite personal for you.
Yeah, it's about my three boys, my three children, and... it's just a simple song about how I've seen them grow, really. And they get a verse each. So there's not much more to it, really.
Can I say I'm disappointed?
Are you?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be more to that story. I thought there's going to be more to this story because he's already told two interesting stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, there maybe is.
Yeah, I hope they don't listen to this interview. Why don't we have you... play for us? What are you going to play?
I'm going to play a new song that I performed for the first time here at FMO, and we're going to be recording next week in Toronto to have an EP released in November sometime. And it's so new, I forgot what it's called. What's it called?
What Kind of Man?
What Kind of Man? Oh, yeah.
Oh, you see, I knew that.
You knew that.
Yeah, telepathy.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got Bex Baxter's going to come in and do some backing vocals. There'll always be a place for you somewhere in my heart. Even after all the days I woke up in the dark, you could have told me, 'cause things we try sometimes don't do so well. And you sounded lonely, but only when you opened up could I begin to tell. But what kind of man would I be for let this guy think this was alright? I just couldn't sleep in my bed if one hair on your head was harmed. And I might bounce his face off a wall. I don't know at all what I'll do if I find out that he's hurt you. Ooh, if I find out that he's hurt you. There'll always be a place for you somewhere in my heart. Even though you help me to slowly fall apart, and you give me something that holding on just doesn't choose goodbyes, and you were the one thing that picked me up and left me high and dry. But what kind of man would I be for let this guy think this was all right? I just couldn't sleep in my bed if one hair in your hair was hard. And I might bounce his face off a wall. I don't know at all what I'll do if I find out that he's hurt you. Find out that he's hurt. Let this guy think this was alright. I just couldn't sleep in my bed if one hair on your head was harmed. And I might bounce his face off a wall. I don't know at all what I'll do if I find out. Find out that he's hurt you.
Wow, that was fabulous.
Thank you.
And that was Bex Baxter on harmony vocals?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Isn't she good?
She is good.
She's wonderful. She looks good too.
So, tell us about how many albums that you made. I feel like I'm on my Fraser Anderson, 101 here.
This is
everything
the fourth
I need to
one.
Know.
The
this
fourth
is the
one.
Fourth one.
Yeah.
You're pretty well known in the UK. I noticed you. Bob Harris has said some great things about you, and you've
I've been
played
very
with
lucky.
A whole bunch of different people over there.
I'm not sure if well known would be the, but people have said some very lovely things though.
You know, I have to say, since we've been enjoying you at FMO, a lot of people have come up to me and said, "Hey, you really need to hear Fraser Anderson."
Well, that's nice to hear.
He's really cool. Really great. Yeah. Tell us about your songwriting. Is that something that comes easy to you?
Sometimes, but other times it's just a struggle.
What sort of subjects do you like to write about, apart from your three sons? Fairly dismissively.
Human interaction, connection, vulnerability, love. Just anything that stirs my soul, or, just stuff that floats my boat in some way, I suppose. I always do, I call it an overnight test. So if I wake up the next morning and I don't like what I've done, I just scrap it. the melodies that I've written that I like and that I keep are usually melodies that would follow a lyric in a very similar way that a conversation might happen. I find that something that is sung in a way that could be spoken has a lot of power in it. I like thinking of certain note choices as being something that can be simultaneously beautiful and unexpected. So like you can take a song somewhere that someone's not expecting it to go, which probably doesn't help with trying to write chart hits, but it just keeps it interesting for me.
When you moved to Bristol, that's a city that's really got an interesting music scene.
It's a great place. Yeah, I love Bristol.
I mean, it has for quite a while, but yeah. It's a city that's got a really good vibe about it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a super friendly place too.
When you came back from France, was it a choice to move there or just circumstances?
Well, I split up with my wife, so kind of life was thrown up in the air for a while, and I just remembered Bristol, and I had some friends there, and I played a few gigs there years before, and so I just kind of floated towards it.
You have a guitar with you, and I love that first song. Can you play something else for us?
Sure. So this is called Beautiful Eyes.
She walks across the way with not much to light the day at that time of the morning. She's still a long way from home. She lifts up her shoulder bag, thinks of the times they had in Roseroom. As she stumbles around inside the sounds of the town, thinks to herself and it goes,
when will I be able to meet with people who wear their truth on their sleeves, loyal and good with beautiful eyes, with beautiful eyes.
She looks up at the early sky. It tells her that she's still high. She's high and she's low, and her skin feels cold, almost blue. The metro is still not on, 'cause everyone else has gone away. And she thinks, bring on the day. And she floats off towards the lottery on the Champs-Élysées.
When will I be able to meet with people who wear their truth on their sleeves, loyal and good with beautiful eyes, with beautiful eyes.
Lights up a cigarette and hears the sparrows in her regret rien. Then she closes her eyes. To a surprise, when a voice in her ear whispers something loud and clear, it says, you are so beautiful. So just trust in it all and love the one who looks back at you from the wall.
When will I be able to meet with people who wear their truth on their sleeves, who are loyal and good with beautiful eyes, with beautiful eyes? Beautiful eyes,
beautiful,
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 beautiful eyes.
Wow, that was absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And Bex Baxter on beautiful, beautiful vocals.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous.
Go Bex.
Yeah. So the album, when did the album come out?
April of this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been pretty happy with the response you've been getting from it?
Yeah, been getting really lovely, lovely reactions, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, so I don't even know if I should go here, but should I not? I'm just getting a shake of the head over there from manager John. And just what I was going to say to just touch on it was that I was given complete creative permission to do the album that I wanted to do, and then went slightly too over, because it's not a folk album. It is primarily, because that's kind of where I come from.
You know, you get into that whole debate about the folk world, which every time we have a conference like this, it comes up again. Everybody wants to talk about, well, what actually is folk music?
Exactly. So, but I've got, obviously, we all love lots of different types of music. And so this album, it is, for me, it is a folk album, but it's got some dance influences. It's got drum and bass in it. You know, it's like really, for me, I was just trying to just express, to do something that I really loved. But the downside of that is it makes it very difficult for your label to promote it.
And am I right in thinking that in your earlier days, did you experiment with other musical forms as well?
Sure. I started out as a drummer. And when I went to music college, and we were kind of thrown together as part of the course. So you would be, for a 13-week block, you would find yourself in a band with maybe like a funk, a Hammond organ player and a thrash metal guitarist. And you had to find middle ground somewhere to create a set to then perform after that block. So it was lots of lessons rolled into that. Mainly the big one would have been like a psychological lesson of how people can work together.
No, that's probably good training, I would think.
I think so, yeah.
A lot of the best training tends to occur under those circumstances. Yeah. I'm going to be a little cheeky and ask you, Steve, will you play something else for us?
Sure.
Because they were absolutely fabulous, and I really do feel like I need to get a really good introduction to Fraser Anderson's music.
Okay. How about I do a poem?
That's good. I love poetry. That's great.
Okay. I suppose for me it's about this. It's about now, right now, in the path I've walked along to get here. The years I gazed open-mouthed and open-eyed, view stretching far and wide out into the sunrise, where sometimes the naked valley tells me it's married to the very top of the vastness of everything we could ever imagine and more. Where sometimes the dust and grime dissolves into the light cast from vulnerable open windows on streets where I feel like I've lived before. But here, right here with you all, I count my blessings. The amount of children I've fathered, 3 boys who I love with every breath and tear and every molten rock and every dancing fountain of water and every fallen soul that hopes to land. I stand naked now with sweat in my hair, blood on my hands and my chest heaving, screaming into the wind and the rain, taking every violent punch of pain with every tender touch of pleasure. To know that within this velvet curtain draped around us, and within this vast open space, every face is just a reflection of my own. Treat people as you wish for them to treat you, they said. Judge not until you've walked 1,000 miles in their shoes, they said. I only heard them say these things with tongues well intended, spitting old bars written by wise old souls and given flight only on worn out paper under a dim light. In time, maybe the dancers will dance, but who am I? My judgment swims on a stormy sea with a rough surface, even though I well know that when I dive for perils it grows quiet and it grows still. My eyes fill from the tear ducts that wet the cheeks of my face from when I think back and remember the black and white pictures I took in a time and a place when my first child was born. I was 19, shocked by the amount of blood and completely overwhelmed. Shaken like the last autumn leaf and grateful for autofocus because my eyes could no longer see. I wasn't ready. But maybe if we wait until we feel that we are, we never will be. Like finding friends you've been searching for and found, or knowing that the foreground is as wide open as the background and that you're swimming around inside moment after moment until no longer can you breathe the air you've been used to. choosing to be drowned in the sound of something untouchable, something unchangeable, something profound, something that's all around us. Life is just like the waves. We only have to give ourselves up like the sea does. Like when the seasons change and you see that last leaf finally fall. But this is about now, right now, with you all.
Wow, that was fantastic. So,
thank you.
You didn't mention up till now the poetry aspect of your career. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's the name of that poem?
It's called With You All.
Have you written a lot of poetry?
I have over the years, but I haven't kept a lot of it. And that's the only one that I've recorded. But no, I've written a lot of stuff in notebooks and things and lost the notebooks. But for me, it was just all like about developing something and learning about bits of myself, probably.
So With You All is actually on the album under the cover of Lightness.
Yeah, it doesn't quite sound like that, though.
Yeah.
It's got like a dance groove behind it.
Yeah. But is it still a spoken word with a dance group?
Yeah.
That was absolutely fabulous.
Thank you. Tell us
about your live show.
Wow. Well, there's different elements to it because sometimes it can be just a solo gig or it can be myself and Bex. We have a band. There's consistencies that run through all. Years ago, I went to see a guy called Dougie McLean in concert and I left the theatre just feeling like I'd made a friend, you know, and I laughed at points and cried at points. And so from that moment, I thought, I'd love to be able to do that. You know, just the power of one guy and a guitar.
Right.
As the luck would have it, and as my life seems to happen, a few months after that, I met Dougie. He heard me play and he asked me to join his band. So I was in his band for like 4 or 5 years. So I learned a lot from him. So the way that I perform, I think a lot of that is due to seeing Dougie McLean perform, to just be able to chat with an audience and hope that they'll feel something. It's funny, recently I was put in touch with a wonderful woman who does specializes in branding and those kind of things, that the kind of things that I usually just avoid because it sounds like capitalist thinking. And she asked me a ton of questions and I was being poked and prodded for hours, and then I went off to make a cup of coffee and she was writing down some stuff and she came through and she said, I figured out like what your core purpose is and like why you do this. And I was like, oh, this will be good. And she said, basically, it's very simple. She believes that what I'm ultimately trying to do is to make people feel like they're loved. So that's quite nice, I thought. Do you feel loved?
I hope I do feel loved.
Would
I was
like
going to ask you how much that costs, but no. I actually do believe in branding, but I thought with the discussion of butcher shops, we might have been talking about different sorts of branding. But it's been great to have you join us today. Absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
Fraser Anderson's new album is entitled Under the Cover of Lightness. And as he mentioned, he's going to be in Toronto working on an EP. When is that likely to see the light of day?
Probably end of November, I would think.
And I imagine that, you know, the fact that you've been at Folk Music Ontario to showcase this weekend, we'll probably see you back in the country.
Oh, I hope
next year.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be back for the summer next year. Yeah.
No, that's great. Well, I will be talking to a lot of festival artistic directors and saying this is somebody.
Oh, thank
that
you.
That really would enhance
that would be wonderful.
Your programming.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely, no
thank
doubt.
Thank you
about
very
that.
Much.
People want to learn more about your music. How can they do that?
Just my website, FraserAnderson.com, and all the links are there, and there's even nice photographs of my handsome face.
We're going to play one more track from the new album.
Okay.
I'd like you to introduce it.
Okay, so this song is called Crying From My Heart. It is one of my older songs that didn't quite fit for various reasons on other albums, but it fitted perfectly on this one. It was inspired by a song written by one of my songwriting heroes, a guy called Davey Steele, who played in the Battlefield band. I don't know if you remember those guys.
Yeah.
So to take us full circle on the old butcher shop story, I was in there helping my dad at weekends when I was at college, and I'm in the big walk-in fridge, and my dad comes in to the fridge and he says, "Oh, there's someone in the shop that you should meet." And I come through and Davey Steele was like in the shop. I didn't know it was him because I wasn't sure what he looked like at that point. I was just inspired by his songs. So I met him and I said, "Oh, I've written a song about your song." And he said, "What song?" I said, "It's called The Beaches of St. Valerie." And The Beaches of St. Valerie, it's such a beautiful song, and it's about his dad and his uncle who were in World War II, and there was a mass retreat from the French coastline to get, and so the British sent every floating vessel that they had to bring as many soldiers back home as possible. And the poignant moment that The Beaches of St. Valerie is about is the moment where his dad got on one of the boats and his brother was on the beach, and there was mayhem obviously on the beach, and the two brothers locked eyes. They saw each other in amongst all that, and they were getting the further and further apart, never knew if they would ever see each other again. They did in the end. So that really touched my heart. And at that same time, my younger brother was leaving to move to Australia. And so I was just imagining what that would be like if that was me and my brother. And so I wrote the song Crying From My Heart, and Davey Steele invited me to his home to play it for him, and I did, and we became friends. And so anyway, bit of a long-winded story there, but this is Crying From My Heart.
I'm enjoying your stories. Fraser Anderson with Crying From My Heart from the new album Under the Cover of Lightness. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Chad Hall.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
Thank you very much.
What was it really like? 'Cause we can't comprehend. Do you remember what it felt like to know for sure that was the end? Did he look you deep in the eye, as if he knew? Did he have a look of love? A thousand souls with desperate tears were stranded on the wounded coast, and one cry is louder than the rest. That's the one you love the most. Did he look you deep in the eye, as if he knew? Did he have a look of love? So fast, the gap just couldn't be bridged, and the air was thick with sadness. He just stood there, my baby brother, with his hands in the air. I just wanted to reach out, grab him like I did when we were boys, and I was crying from my heart. I was crying. Crying from my heart. My eyes wouldn't focus, and his eyes had no tears, even though I was a senior by almost 5 long years. He looked me deep in the eyes, and I could see he had a look of love for me. It all happened so fast, the gap just couldn't be bridged, and the air was thick with sadness. He just stood there, my baby brother, with his hands in the air. I just wanted to reach out and grab him like I did when we were boys,
was crying for miles, crying for miles.